Welcome to the Sunday Morning Cornerback Podcast. Gary Paskowitz joined, as always, by Daryl Rodeau. And Daryl, a different kind of game to talk about last night with SC going into Boston College and suffering a defeat that I think is going to linger in the minds of Trojans for a long time. I don't know that anyone expected to go out there and really get physically beat the way that things happen on both sides of the line. And really, I want to keep the focus for this podcast on both sides of the line, because I think that story told so much of what needed to go on from that game. Let's start off for the USC defense versus the Boston College offense. Just give your initial thoughts about what you saw out there, what went right and what went wrong.
Well, Gary, in order to kind of really reflect on Boston College, you almost have to go back a week and look at how USC's interior defensive line matched up against Stanford. You thought, okay, if Boston College coming into this game was going to pound the ball, you felt pretty good about it considering how USC matched up with Stanford in the interior part of the line. But keep this in mind. Stanford is a Pac-12 opponent that you see year in and year out. You don't see Boston College much. So traveling on the road with a short week of preparation is going to put a lot of pressure on that interior defensive line. And we're talking Williams, we're talking Woods. And in this game, there were some things that were exposed. And when you look at it from an overall scheme standpoint, a lot of alignment or missed assignments and poor alignment. And that really puts a lot of pressure on a coaching staff that's trying to break in a lot of young players.
Let's start off about that. Talk about the schemes that SC started off in, and then when Boston College started to see some success, what did you see about the adjustments that were made on USC's behalf?
Well, USC wants to feature three down linemen, three linebackers, five secondary players. By bringing in Sua Craven as a linebacker, it almost gives you the illusion that they're in a three down lineman, four linebacker scenario. That's like taking a knife to a gunfight. I know that analogy is often overused, but in this situation, they came into this game absolutely with the wrong personnel. That personnel is not conducive to going up against 5, 6, 7 type of offensive linemen. And in this game, Boston College featured six offensive linemen, and they brought in what we call a tank personnel. Two running backs, three tight end situations, and they just flat out pounded the ball. Oftentimes in this game, we saw what felt like a lopsided or an introverted offensive line where we call it end over slot. You have a guard and a tackle on one side, then you have three tackles, you know, and a tight end on the opposite side. And what happened was USC kept shifting and adjusting in the first half to the off-balance side, where what they should have did was imagine that there's an imaginary tight end at the end of that second line. By fanning out the defensive tackle or fanning out that linebacker, it would have given them the edge to force the action back inside. Instead, we saw the quarterback Murphy get the edge, and it becomes a foot race, advantage the offense.
One of the things that was puzzling, Daryl, was it seemed like the responsibility assignments that SC used to defend against the read option with Murphy, boy, it didn't seem a lot of times like those assignments were being met on the USC side of the ball.
And look, I'm not one to make excuses, but in a situation like this, missing Hayes Pollard in the first half, missing that leadership, that experience, understanding, recognizing how to make those adjustments, we just didn't see it. We saw a backup, and I don't want to name them by names, but I'm sure all of us can recognize that USC had to rely on a backup. Okay, bringing him in, who's trying to focus on his job, making sure he's in position, doesn't see the whole field the same way someone like Hayes Pollard may see the field. As a result of that, here's what we were seeing. We were seeing the outside linebackers, and we can name all three of them, from Tavai Sorrow to Felix. They were all out of position. And the times that they were in position, they were getting sealed. Okay, so they were getting cracked back. Now they're being blocked and contained, which means that the corners from USC now have to come up and field. But the corners were about 6, 7, 8 yards off the ball. And here's what I would attribute that to. That's on the coaches. Because each week there is a 9-on-7 drill, 9 defensive players, 7 offensive players. While the 9-on-7 drill is occurring on the opposite side of the field, corners are in 1-on-1. So the corners are rarely ever in this type of action. So they're not really sure all the time of where they need to be. But in situations like this, they should have been cracking and replacing. The defensive end's responsibility on the option is to take away the quarterback. And then the linebackers will fan off and take away the tailback. in situations like this where the linebacker is getting cracked, the corner now has to replace that and take away. Just by alignment alone, you bring the corners up on the line of scrimmage or close to the line of scrimmage, knowing they have no responsibility, Gary, they can now immediately take away the tailback and force someone like Murphy to have to turn up into where help is provided.
When we were talking before the podcast, Daryl, you were saying one of the things that you thought was really important was it seemed like the lack of trust and confidence in the players from this newer defensive staff that you think attributed to maybe some of the lack of adjustments that a lot of Trojan fans were hoping to see in the game last night.
Make no mistake about it. This coaching staff knows exactly what adjustments to make. They've been together for about 5 years, in some cases maybe even longer, depending on how Sark put the staff together. Okay, but that trust in the coaching staff doesn't always translate over to the trust onto the field. And what we saw was the lack of trust in bringing in reserve players and putting them in that 4-4 base defense, four down linemen, four linebackers, Gary, became a problem. They then said to themselves, and I'm just paraphrasing what I would do if I were on this coaching staff, trust the players and personnel that you have on the field, regardless if it's the wrong personnel. Ride and die with the players you have. But that should transition us now to the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and I want to say really quick before we leave that, you had talked about the loss of Josh Shaw and even a Greg Townsend. Yeah. You mentioned Hayes Poulard. I think those did factor. This might have been the game where the loss of Shaw impacted the Trojans the most.
I really believe that because
surprisingly
so. But in a situation like this, not saying that the corners didn't play well, but you had the wrong personnel on the football field. Make no mistake about it. When you go a four down lineman, four linebackers, and you're only playing with one safety. Okay, you can get away with that if you have a corner as physical as Josh Shaw who can come in as another safety. You're taking his experience off the field, his ability to make plays at the line of scrimmage definitely impacted the USC's defense in this game.
And like you say, let's flip it over to offense now. I think probably the biggest surprise for a lot of Trojan fans that we're hearing on the message board this morning is the perceived change in offensive style, the up-tempo attack that had been there so prevalent against Fresno State that kind of wasn't always there against Stanford, but you can understand that game was a different game. But it was as if it just went completely away in this game. And you made the point, if you're going to go down with what you brought.
Yeah, go down with what you brought, force the action. And what we saw was that this fast pace by Sark is predicated by tempo and rhythm. We saw none of that. I believe in the first half, USC had the longest drive they had was about 6 plays. So, you know, when you fall behind the count early, that has to do with more trust on the field. And I keep going back and emphasizing this trust thing, Gary, because if your quarterback doesn't trust that his young offensive line is going to block for him, he's not going to stand in the pocket. Instead, we saw a lot of lateral movement, scrambling in the pocket. And every time you shift out of that window, Gary, what we're finding is the window for Kessler becomes smaller. And so he's not seeing the whole field. There were a few times he should have stepped into the pocket, but his lack of trust and confidence from an offensive line that were making unforced errors. It was like they were mentally thinking that I need to go support and help a double team instead of reacting to the delayed stunts that we were seeing by Boston's college's front four.
And it was really surprising. This is probably the first game all season where we have seen so many miscommunication situations with that offensive line. It really was at times where guys coming free. And just a brief point, didn't this game kind of illustrate Boston College didn't seem to have any big, huge guys, but they were 5 graduate students on the offensive line. You know those guys have gotten a lot of reps together in practice. They've been together a long time. Just a little contrast to the growing pains that USC's young puppies had in this game.
It goes back to what the author Malcolm Gladwell talking about 10,000 hours of rep makes you a professional. Well, when you have grad students on that side of the ball, you're going up against young players who may be more athletic, but they just don't have the experience. And so a lot of the unforced errors came in guys thinking where they should be instead of reacting to what they saw.
Yeah, that was a tough part of it. So if you're looking at it right now, what are your thoughts on the offense moving forward? That was just such an anomaly compared to what we had expected from Sark with the up-tempo pressure.
The bye week couldn't have come at a better time. They need this opportunity to kind of lick their wounds, go back, reflect, and make some adjustments. Those adjustments are subtle adjustments. It's just calming players down, but when you have 2 rookies at the guard positions, those are the core part of your chain. When that foundation is weak, you now have to strengthen it by saying, look, our communication is going to be check with me. If you're unsure about what your responsibilities are, you can use this week to go back to your run fits and make those corrections. But moving forward, the trust is going to have to come with Kessler sitting in the pocket and trusting that his offensive line will make those adjustments.
That's our report with the Boston College Review. For Darryl Rodeau, this is Gary Paskowitz. You're listening to the Sunday Morning Cornerback.